Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Well, I'm not easily surprised, but I will admit I was mildly surprised, not pleasantly, but mildly surprised, when I heard recently that Georgetown University was going to have a commencement speaker pretty much out of central casting for the person you wouldn't ask to come and speak at a Catholic university. Not now, not with the recent stories coming out of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius's office. Of course, the secretary herself has been invited to speak at the commencement of Georgetown University. And I guess my only reaction after the mild surprise is, what are they thinking? It's hard to tell. Joining us to talk about that story and an ongoing story about Vatican reform of a group of U.S. nuns, Colleen Carol Campbell. She's host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What are your thoughts on Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius being the keynote speaker at Georgetown University, the commencement speaker?
Well, I think it's appalling. It's in direct violation to the document that the bishops put out some years ago, making it clear that anyone who supports abortion rights in public life, anyone who qualifies as pro-abortion, and Sebelius does, if ever there was a someone in political life who did, should not be given a platform at a Catholic university, especially something as important as a platform at a commencement exercise. So, you know, it's just a slap in the face of the U.S. bishops who've been obviously battling very hard the last few months against this HHS mandate that Sebelius has crafted and pushed upon the American people. It's just in begging for a swift and stern rebuke, and I hope Georgetown gets it. On the other hand, as you said, not terribly surprising. Georgetown hasn't been a seriously Catholic university in decades. It's a serious academic institution, at least in some departments, but the Catholic identity piece has been extremely weak for years, and this just sort of solidifies that weakness. So, you know, it's similar to Notre Dame hosting President Obama a few years ago, although I think much even more cut and dry in terms of the way that it just defies the U.S. bishop. So it's probably going to pick another fight, and I think those fights are overdue. Again, there's a clear policy on this, so there's no gray area here in terms of what the church expects from its institutions. And this might be exactly the sort of instance that Pope Benedict was thinking of just this week when he gave a talk about the importance of Catholic identity at Catholic educational institutions in the United States and how he saw that as the top priority for the Catholic Church in terms of shoring up its Catholic identity, is looking to its schools and especially its universities to make sure they are carrying out the message of the Church. And obviously in this case, Georgetown is certainly not.
And speaking of Catholic identity, recently in the news, the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, a group that reportedly was being cracked down on unexpectedly by the Vatican in a recently issued document. What's the real story here?
Well, for one thing, it's not nearly as stunning as we've been told over and over in mainstream media reports that the good sisters of the LCWR are just stunned that the Vatican has a problem with them. Actually, this is an investigation doctrinally that was launched years ago, and the problems go back much further than that. In 1977, the LCWR came out opposing the Catholic Church's position, or at least refusing to accept that position on the ordination only of men as priests. In more recent years, they've embraced ministries to gays and lesbians that are in direct violation of church teaching in terms of what they promote in those ministries. They've put out a handbook that encourages sisters to reject or at least debate rejecting the Catholic Mass at their gatherings because it requires the presence of a male priest. And just in 2007, the National Conference hosted a keynote speaker that talked about the importance of Catholic sisters moving beyond the church and even beyond Jesus in their understanding of what it is to live their faith in the world. So this is a group that went off the rails a long time ago. Lay Catholics have been complaining about this kind of thing for years, many of them at least, and there are actually a fair number of sisters, even some whose orders belong to this particular leadership conference, who've been complaining about this. So a lot of the mainstream media reports have tried to cast this as sort of Rome versus America, the bishops versus the faithful. But if you talk to a lot of the faithful and even some of the sisters, they'll tell you it's not quite that cut and dry, that in fact a lot of Catholics are relieved and glad to see that finally Rome is paying some official attention to problems that everyone's known have been going on for a long time.
And it's not as though the Church's teaching on this has changed and somehow, the impression that's often given in the press is that the Vatican has moved the goalpost or moved the 50-yard line and now forcing everybody to go along with the rule change. It's simply enforcing millennia-old doctrine in some cases.
That's exactly true. Then at the time of Vatican II, around the mid-60s, in other parts of the world, the Second Vatican Council and its documents were interpreted in a more true light in terms of what those documents actually said, and that's where a lot of this upheaval can be traced to. In the United States, the effects of the Second Vatican Council collided with the effects of the 60s and all of the cultural chaos that ensued following that, and so a lot of Catholic sisters got swept up in that and started to talk a lot about the spirit of Vatican II rather than the actual documents of Vatican II, and started to believe that everything in the church would be up for grabs, including, as you said, millennial old doctrine that is never going to change, never has, and never will. That's where a lot of these sisters like to talk like they're confused, things have changed, there's been some sort of a crackdown under Pope John Paul II or Pope Benedict XVI, but those fellows were both at Vatican II interpreting those documents and helping to write them. A lot of these sisters haven't even bothered to read those documents or at least not translate them in any true sense. So, the Church has been pretty constant on these key doctrines, including the role of Jesus in salvation history, the fact that the priestly ordination is reserved to men as part of the biblical mandate, as the Church interprets that, and that's never changed. But a lot of these sisters have been, slowly moving further and further from Christian orthodoxy to the point where, the faith that they are promoting at their conferences, at the LCWR conferences, is barely recognizable as Christian, much less Catholic. So as I said, it's long past time that Rome, officially stepped in, because this is a leadership conference that actually was formed at the Vatican's request and reports to the Vatican. And you don't see these sisters giving back the land and the donations they got from decades ago from faithful Catholics who expected that these sisters would continue to uphold church teaching. So if they want to call themselves Catholic and they want to be an officially Catholic organization, then they need to play by the rules of belonging to the Catholic Church. If they're unwilling to do that, they should have the integrity to say, I am no longer a Catholic nun, I am now New Age or agnostic or nothing, and then go about your way. But go ahead and give back those lands and the donations and all the rest of the perks that come with being Catholic religious sisters. And it's important to note, too, that there's a whole rising crop of young Catholic sisters who are not part of this leadership conference of women religious. They're part of a different conference but split off from that group, a more orthodox one. And these young women are very attracted to religious life, but to those orders that are behaving in a very different way than the orders that are members of the LCWR.
That was my final question for you with only about a minute and a half. Should the general Catholic population be concerned that female religious orders are somehow overrun or infected with the effects of feminism or the New Age movement or whatever other aberrations we see in this isolated example?
Well, there certainly is a lot of that in a lot of the historically robust Catholic women's religious orders. The good news, though, is that those are the orders that are dying off, and the ones that are growing, the ones that are going to be around in 20, 40, 60 years, the ones that actually have busloads of young recruits as opposed to these other orders that can barely, you know, drum up one novice every 5 years. Those growing, thriving orders are attracting young women who are faithful to church teaching, who are staunchly pro-life, and who are willing to be public countercultural witnesses to ancient Christian truth in the modern world. Those are the women that are attracted today to religious life, and they're attracted to the religious orders that profess Catholic doctrine and that preach the gospel with clarity in a very confused world. So, you know, as one commentator, Russell Shaw, put it recently in an article about this, you know, this is something the Vatican can and should move on. It's a good thing, but at the end of the day, this is going to be settled by actuarial tables. Time is not on the side of these sort of aging radicals. It's on the side of the young Orthodox women like those I wrote about in The New Faithful, and those women are attracted to a whole different view of religious life, one that is much more traditional and much more faithful to the church.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks again, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Folks, one of the frequent compliments we get here at Issues Etc. from our listeners is on the breadth of topics and guests. Just consider today alone what you've heard already in the last hour. We talked about 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius, with Pastor Heath Curtis. We spent some time with Dr. Albert Moeller of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, getting his reaction to President Obama's support for same-sex marriage. George Conger was with us talking about some media coverage of religion issues, and Colleen Carroll Campbell talking about matters pertaining to the Roman Catholic place in the world. And already in the next hour, we're going to be talking about Old Testament laws and their applicability with Dr. Jog Kleinig of Australian Lutheran College. Now, if you appreciate this aspect of Issues Etc., the great stable of guests and the broad issues we address every day, please consider making a tax-deductible contribution to support this worldwide outreach. No gift is too small. And for any size donation before Pentecost Sunday, the 27th of May, we'll send you a CD of a sermon that I've preached on the resurrection of Christ and another on the ascension of Christ. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter. When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. John Kleinig will join us. We'll talk about the application of Old Testament laws.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from his death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.